Okay, so we've been discussing now the basis for Shittas Reish Lakish, that there can be no Chazara, that a person cannot retract after the first day of the Kiddushin L'Achar Amid Yom, and after he's appointed a Shliach, or she's appointed a Shliach, to be Mechabel's Kiddusha. So there's no Chazara after that, says Rabbi Yochan, it says Reish Lakish, because it lost a Dimur about to leave work. So we've been exploring now, and how do we understand this? What's the basis of Reish Lakish? In particular, we noted that there are two potential explanations that we can consider. One, that Chazara is ineffective according to Reish Lakish because he thinks that at this point you don't require Da'ato V'Ratzano anymore. You don't require the Da'as HaBa'alim. It doesn't matter if he consents anymore, and therefore, if he retracts his consent, it's just not consequential. Alternatively, perhaps he acknowledges, he agrees, he do require Da'ato. He just thinks that the Chazara is ineffective. He thinks that we don't recognize it. We operate on the basis of the initial statement, as opposed to the Chazara. So, last go where we started exploring the first possibility, in particular, we considered the relationship to its relationship to the question, meaning the possibility that what we're saying, what Reish Lakish is saying, is we don't require Das at this point. We don't need to know what the Ritzona by them is, even if it's Shalom Ritzono or Ritzona. It doesn't matter. And that's why Chazara is ineffective. So we started exploring the relationship between that question and the question of whether or not you would require a bar das at this point, both after the day number one on Kiddushin L'Achar Amid Yom and after Mina Shlichus. So we noted that it's possible to view these issues as linked, it's possible to dissociate them. But now I want to analyze this possibility more misvara. How do we understand this? What's going on? Clearly, Reish Lakish assumes that you don't need das for the, I'm just going to say Das Haisha, because that's the case that we're discussing, that's the case that's discussed, that's brought up, at least initially in the Gemara, that you don't need Das Haisha for the Chalos Kiddushin. The Chalos the Kiddushin can take effect, even if that is happening Shalom Midaita. Again, this is on this assumption the basis for Reish Lakish is that he thinks that at this point you don't need Das. So if that's the case, not that we have it, but you don't need it. If that's the case, so clearly he's assuming you don't need Das for the Chalos. Right? However, even if that's true, even if the Chalos HaKiddushin can happen Bal Korcha, but presumably the Maisa Kiddushin cannot be executed Shalom Midaita. Right? For two reasons, really. First of all, the Kiddushin only works Midaita. Requires Daita. And this is the Sugya. According to some Rishonim, this is what the Gemara itself had raised this issue, but according to others, that was never on the table. Nobody ever considered the possibility that you could have a Kiddushin Shalom Midaita. I don't know if this is, you guys were in Shia, I'm sure you guys discussed this some at length. So some Rishonim think that that's not what the Gemara's question was, it's a question of Tal Yuvah Zavin or something similar. But either way, we certainly conclude that Kiddushin has to be Midaita. That's just in terms of having any Maisa Kiddushin be Midaita. Additionally, you should point out that when you're dealing with Kesef and Shtar, then just technically to execute the Maisa Kiddushin requires Das HaYisha L'Kabel HaKesef L'Kabel HaShtar. Right? It's not a good Kabbalah Kesef or Kabbalah Shtar if she has no intent to be taking it. So it's clear that the L'Chaora, the Maisa, has to be executed Midaita. So how do we understand Reish Lakish? Then how do we understand that what he's saying is you don't need it. You don't need her das at this point, or you don't need das habayim at this point. So regarding kedushin l'achar amid yom, I think the simplest thing to say is that Reish Lakish really holds that the maisa kedushin occurs on day number one. He's of the opinion that what you're doing here is you're doing the maisa nesinas hakesef hakedushin l'shem kedushin now, and you're only stipulating that it'll be chal. You only want to delay the chalos of the kedushin until day number 31. So at this point, he thinks you don't need das anymore. You needed the ma'is kedushin to be midaita, but that you had, and all that's left is the chalos, and that doesn't require daita. So this is again essentially how the Ritva understood Reish Lakish in the simple way to really take Reish Lakish in the Lishakama. Just in terms of how we understood the case of Kiddushin L'Achar Amid Yom, that Hachi Kamrinan, this is, I just repasted it from the previous Mekor Sheet, or the two ones ago, Hachi karmina d'shani nesinas maos liyada isha shakol maisa hakidushin asoi ve'enu machusar maisa di'ilo hadri behu memele chayda kidushi lachar shashem yom. So it sounds like what he's saying is Rosh Hashanah understood that this was the maisa kidush. Only thing you have left is the chalos. So what we're explaining now is in Rosh Hashanah that according to Rosh Hashanah you don't need das for the chalos. It's true you need das for the maisa kidush, but that you have. Now the Ritva, so that's what I think you would say by kidushin lachar shashem yom. But this interpretation requires further explanation for the Lishna Basra, right? That was Ritva's point, was that this was the Gemara, Lishna Kama, so therefore the Lishna Kama rejected the application of the Shita of Reish Lakish to beyond the case of Kedushin Lachal Midyom, to the case of Mino Shlichus, because Masha Enke Mosa Shliach, Litrom Mushlech Gebi Yad Shliach, Shehu Mechusar Maisa, Shachi Yitrom Zev Yagi Get Liad Yisha, In Kan Shum Dab Kana. In other words, the question is, how do we understand how this could possibly be the case, again, within this approach, how can you understand that we don't need daita in the case of Chazar Lachar Mina Shlichus, where the Maisa Kiddushin is yet to occur? Right, that's the issue. So I think the only way to explain this, L'chora, is by understanding that Reish Lakish here is adopting a certain view of Shlichus. And here, this gets us into a more general question of understanding shlichus. There are really two basic questions that emerge when it comes to the character of shlichus. Quite distinct, although sometimes they are conflated, but they really are different questions. The Mishnah, the Gemara in Kiddushin in the second parak, the beginning of the second parak, derives the possibility of that a person can appoint shlichus, can appoint a shliach in various contexts. One of which is from the Korban Pesach, where the Pasuk describes it as being something which the entirety of Klal Yisrael did. So it's quite clear that not everybody was doing it. Rather, there was a kind of a shliach. So the Gemara, in the Gemara's language, is mikan. That we see from here is that shulcho shaladim kamoso. The person shliach is as if he himself represents him. Now here you have two questions regarding the character and the extent, really, of Kamoso. The first concerns the legal identity of the shliach as he executes a maisa, and the second concerns the power or the authority of a shliach in executing the maisa. So now, what I mean by that is, the first question concerning the legal identity is, to what extent the shliach represents the mishaleach? He's a stand-in for the mishaleach, so that, basically, what we understand going on here is, he's a gavur b'chari kai. Who's doing the maisa? The mishaleach is doing the maisa. Not the shliach is just the implement of the mishaleach, but it's the mishaleach who's doing the maisa here. Or no. We view the shliach as his own person, right? And he's executing an act in his own name, it's his own maisa. The chiddush of shlichus is that the mishaleach was able to enable him, he enables the shliach's act to effectuate the relevant chalos. Right? Normally speaking, it's only the mishaleach, it would only be the baal's act, let's say. What shlichus does is it says, okay, his act, whatever it was that was required of me, if you have him do it, that'll also effectuate the chalos. Now this, I would just mention quickly, maybe three or four issues that are potentially related to this issue of Kamoso. The first is a question which emerges in the Gemara of Metziah Daf Sadibav, relating to two different contexts where the Gemara is mistabik whether or not Shlichus works. The first is Bel Avimo, the halacha of Shoel, that one of the Turim of Shomer Shoel, or Shoel, is Pater under two conditions, Bel Avimo and Mesa Machmas Halacha, but Bel Avimo, so if the, what that means is if the, let's say I borrowed both the shore and the bailim, so he's working for me, bel avimo, so then there's no chiyuv. Okay. What happens, asks the Gemara, what happens if the baal hashor says, I'll lend you this, says to somebody, I'll lend you the shore, and I'll also lend you somebody, I'll appoint a shliach to represent me in working for you. Alright, this is the sugi bav mitziya daf sarivav, amr le ravina ravashi haomr le shlucho, Save Yishaili Imparasi. Mahu, do we say that this qualifies that now something happens to the shore, so we'll say Bel Avimo or not? Bilav ima mahu bilav mamish bina veleka o dilma shulcho shaldin kemosa veika. So the Gemara says this perhaps is machlokes that we can also see in a different context, in the context of Hafar Sedarim, where Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Yeshaya, the Brisa says, "Omer l'abatrabas kol din darim shtei ishti noderes mikan acha avo migmakom ploni haferla." Right, the Baal has the ability to be made for nidra yishto. So can the basically the Brisa's question was, can the Baal appoint somebody else to be mayfair the wife's nidarim in his stead while he's gone or not? So the Gemara says, do we say Yishai Yikimenu, Yishai Farenu, Divir Yishai, or do we say no, Rabbi Yonas and Omer, Matzina Mechom Makom, Shulcho Shaldim Kemosa? So the Tosos already point out, are we having Machlokas here, whether or not Shlichas works? Is anybody that thinks that Shulcho Shaldim is not Kemosa? Obviously not. Rather, we have, for whatever reason, Tosos suggests two possibilities. For whatever reason, we thought, the simple way to take this, that it has to be the Baal himself is doing these things. The Maisa here has to be the Baal, if you want to say, right? In other words, Bel Avimo means that the Baal, it's the Baal specifically who's there. Yishai Yikamenu means it's the Baal, and this already tells us, as again, to either this was Misvaro, it just made sense to say that it has to be Dafka the Baal, or, right, because, you know, it's the Mishum Deloshem Baal of the Yishus Mashmalei Udafka Veloshecho, or it was some sort of diuk from the Pasuk, and it says it twice, so it means really it has to be him. So that was the issue, and the question was, so one day in the Gemara thought, in these contexts, Shlichus doesn't work. Why? Because it has to be him. These contexts in particular have to be him specifically who's doing it, and therefore not Shlucho. Now, the other day who disagrees could say one of two. He could say, I don't think you're right. I don't think it needs to be him who's doing it. It's a chalos is, generally speaking, relevant to the Bailam. But just like any other chalos is relevant to the Bailam, he can appoint somebody else. So, too, here. Or, I agree with you, it has to be Isha Yikimenu, Isha Yifarenu, and I agree with you, Bill of Dafka. But Shulcha Shulton Gamoso, what that means is, he is the Bailam. He's representing me. He's able to act in my stead. So that's one context where this sort of question comes up. Another... Oh, and I just put it in the cards here. It's Machlokas Rishonim in the tour, Machlokas Rambam and others. Another sort of simple context in which this seems to be, this is quite likely to be a relevant issue, is the sugya in the second perek of Shliach Nase Eid. Right? Let's say, for instance, you have any case of, let's say, Kiddushin, Mifnei Shnayim, so can you have the Shliach, let's say you appoint the Shliach to be Mekadesh in Yisha, so can he count as one of the Eidim? The Gemara says, Derev Shilo, Amri, Ein Shliach Nase Eid, Kevan, Damar Mar, Shulcha Shalt Kamoso, Havelike Gufe. So that's a machlokas in the Gemara. Okay. And we paskim Hilchaz Shliach Nase Eid, that a Shliach can be an Eid. Now, what there could be a number of different things involved there. But one, quite clearly, might relate to the question, this precise issue. Do we say that in acting, in being Mekadosh Yisha, he's doing his own act? In which case, we'll say that that he can be an aid, right? It gets in the question, the other question is the parameters of Sobal Davar, but you're right. If it's his own act, so then he can serve as an aid. Yeah. Right. If he's acting as the Bailim, so he cannot serve as an aide. And with respect to this issue, he is the Baal Davar, the Bailim, right. Another issue where this comes up is a fascinating Havim Min HaMaskan in the Gemara in Makos. The Gemara in Makos there is discussing the din of Lavinita Glase. So the halacha is that Lavinita Glase, there can be Makos in Lavinita Glase. It's not just a sweeping patur, it's a total afka. But it has to involve somehow something happening to the assay. And here you have a machlokas in the Gemara there, Reuchon and Shlakish actually, whether or not we say, well, what is it that has to happen? Does it depend on kimu velo kimu? Meaning, just take the simplest understanding, not the particular details that Rashi is mechadish there, or the Rivan is mechadish there. Meaning, if at some point he can no longer be mekayim the assay, so at that point he gets the machlokas. Or no. It depends on bitlo velo bitlu. He has, in order to be chai makos, he has to be mevatel biyadayim. If he's mevatel the aseh biyadayim, if he does an act on his own to to make it impossible for him to be Mekayim Yaseh, so then he'll get Malchus. If he doesn't, even if it's no longer able to be done, but if it's not that he, it's that that's a function of his own Maisa in being Mevatel it, so then he won't get Malchus. It depends on Bitlu v'lo Bitlu, and therefore, and whether or not you get Malchus is Bitlu v'lo Bitlu, not Kimu v'lo Kimu. So the Gemara says, what would be an example? So one example would be, let's say in Shiluach HaKan, so where you were Shochet the Khan. So that would get you Malchus. But then the Gemara wonders, where else do you have this? Is this even possible? Where else besides that is it even Shayach to say you can Mevatel B'Yadayim, a case of Lavin Integlase? So the Gemara considers, what about the case of an Anas, right? Somebody who is Ones and Isha, so then the Halacha is that he has to marry her, and there's an Isser, there's a Law, if he can't be Megarish her. Lo Yuchal Shacha Koyamav. What happens if he's Megarish her? So he has a Nita Glase, he has to take her back. Okay? So the Gemara asks, is it possible to have? Maybe we'll say that this is not relevant. You can't have Malchus in this case because what could be Miadayim? The Gemara says, if you say, okay, I have a suggestion. Maybe if you murder her. So the Gemara says, then Kumul Dirabine, you wouldn't get Malchus anyway. So then the Gemara considers, maybe if he accepts Kiddushin on her behalf. This is the Gemara in Malchus there. I mean, the Gemara has a discussion, but I'm happy to hear, yeah.
But you were just saying that, the Gemara is trying to figure out if there are any other examples.
Of Malchus, Bilavi Nidaklase, according to the Mandam, or Bitlo Velo Bitlo?
Maybe I'm misunderstanding, but, let's say I was Gozel or something, and I just turned,
So the Gemara raises that possibility, that question. Yeah, the Gemara raises that question, and it happens to be that, I mean, that's not so many more, that's another one. But the Gemara...
I was thinking for, 3 seconds.
Right. Yeah. But the Gemara raises that, and it's a very important Gemara as far as issues of Gzela are concerned. It says, the Gemara's response to that is that you don't get Malchus in that case because he's a Gavra Bar Tashlumin. And according to one day, it's Eino Lokeh Meshalim. According to one gear, it says Eino Lokeh Meshalim, and according to another gear, it doesn't say that.
Meshalim, Mama.
Yeah, so this is the Makwar for this. Major Machlokes is talking about that, just whether or not that means that the Nitak La'aseh there, you can still be Menatik La'aseh. The Heshus of Gzela still can be accomplished through Tashlumin, which is how the Tosos understood it, or what this means is what the Rambam's understood, that there is never Malchus for a Lav where you have a Chi of Tashlumin because Ein Elokim Mishalim sort of thing. Right. So that's what the Rambam develops the idea of a Lav and Nitan L'Tashlumin as being a separate category. This is where Gzela, you guys aren't doing Meruba this year, but the Kalayim is right. The Gzela, the Rambam says that if you have the Be'en, so then there's no Malchus because you have Veheshus Gzela, and even if you don't have the Be'en, so even if you're sorry if the Be'en, so you don't get Malchus because it's a Lav and Nita than the Tashlumin. So that, I'm saying, your question is a question, it's good, the Gemara thought of that, and brought it up and rejected. But the Gemara, are you following? Are you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the Gemara suggests this issue of suggests that maybe what we'll say is, maybe you have a case where he accepts Kiddushin, and the Gemara's response is, what do you mean? This is the Gemara, I think I have it here, right? Yeah. Elo onis bidlo velo bidlo hey mechechim shkachas la ide katla kumal edrabine amar of simi mechozna kigon shekiba la kiddushin meach. So amar Rav says that's not good. Mimanoshach I shav yisei shaliach I kamivat lele. If he's not a shaliach, obviously the Gemara goes on to say then it's meaningless. He needs to be a shaliach. But if he's a shaliach, so I kamivat lele. Whose Maisa Kiddushin is that? So it could very well be that that's the Machlokas. That's the issue there. Do we understand that this is the Baal's Maisa, this is the Shliach's Maisa Kiddushin? Or, and the Chiddush is, it's his Maisa Nisina's Kesef, or his Maisa Kabbalah's Kesef, which effectuates her Kiddushin, or no? It's only the Isha's Kabbalah's Kiddushin, and what we're saying is that she can enable him to do it. Okay. To act in her stead, to act to represent her. There are others as well. I'll just give you one quick other nafkamina, which is the din of Toves Abachov B'makom Shechav L'Achrini. Let's say you have somebody who's a Abachov to multiple people. Somebody owes multiple people money. So the halacha is that a Toves Abachov B'makom Shechav L'Achrini is Lokana, right? If there are multiple Balei Chov that have a claim on this thing, so each Abachov, if he were to be Toves, he could be Tofes, that's fine. he has a right. If somebody else decides to do me a favor to be tofes for me, so we say in that case, lo kana. Now that's a case the Gemara is speaking of, at the very least, a case of where you did it on your own, and the Kamash Malan is, even though we say zachin l'adav shel b'fana, but we don't say it if in a case of chavla achrin. But do we say it if he actually appointed a shliach? Can a Bachov appoint a shliach to be tofes? So here you have Machlokas Rishonim. Rashi is the Gemara B'Metzia, Daf Yud. Rashi says very clearly, he thinks that that would work, right? He says, K'dam R'Ksuvos, D'Lavko K'mini L'yos Kofetz Me'lav V'Chavleilu. He has no privilege to be able to do something which would deprive others of what they, belongs to them. Meaning the Baal Chov himself, he can do that. He also has a claim. But somebody else, Mechetesi, that he could deprive some of these other Baal Chov. So then Rashi adds, Me'achar Shelo Asa Oso Hanoshe Shliach L'Tfos. Since he didn't appoint him a shliach. So the Tosas here, this is the Tosas all over, they disagree with Rashi. I'll just quote it here, the Tosas Rashi, because he has the most explicit language. He thinks that that's not the case. That the Gemara implies in Ksuvos that even if you appointed him a shliach, litvos, you still can't, and as the Tosas say, vein mashra sham ken ela filu asa shliach lav kol kamine. Mechadesi, the shliach can do it. So again, this seems to very, you can understand that this also relates to this the question, is he representing me, so it's my tvisa? In which case, lav kol kamine, what do you mean? I'm able to do it. So instead of, what's it there? I'm being tofes. Or no, it's the shliach's, I'm saying you can do it. The shliach's tfisa. And what we're saying is, mehechetesi, the shliach's tfisa could be good. If you want to take it, that's fine. But otherwise, it's makam al-chavachrinia, you have no ability to do it. Okay, so that's one set of questions, one kind of question. That's one issue. To what extent can most of the sense of does he represent it? Then there's a second issue, separate issue, I think, which concerns not the identity of the shliach, but the question of whether or not the shliach, the issue of his authority or sovereignty, to what extent the shliach possesses sort of operational, I would say, autonomy. Now, do we understand that what mina shlichus involves is a sort of a mesiras koach? It's a kind of a delegating of the bailim is delegating his own legal authority. He's apportioning it. He's handing it over to the shliach, is empowering the shliach to act and to be essentially a bailim over the task at hand, so that essentially the shliach himself now is considered to be a sort of a legal authority. He has a koach, a bailim over that task, or no, doesn't involve any sort of legal transfer, legal granting of authority to the shliach. The sole legal power, the sole legal authority, or the sole power, in a sense, is the mishaleach, and the shliach is simply a prop or a puppet that sort of acts out the whims and the wishes of the mishaleach. Now, you have several issues that relate to this question. I mean, to what extent do we say shulchos al kamoso, he has the power of a bailim or not? Not is he identified as a bailim, but does he have a power of the bailim? So, for instance, here you have one sort of issue is to what extent the shliach has the ability to do things that the mishaleach didn't specifically task him with. Didn't mention. And I'll just mention here two examples to illustrate this. The first is, can the shliach appoint on his own, can he take it upon himself to appoint another shliach? Right? Can shliach be osa shliach? So this is the sugya on the Kedushin Daf Mem Mei Zeman Aleph, which derives from the pasuk that he can do it, at least in the case of Gerushin, the Gemara seems to have a separate diyuk from the pasuk, that a shliach, not only can you have this notion of shlichus, this is before the Gemara got to the Korban Pesach model, where we have a universal shulchan shulchan gamoso. The Gemara says, with regard to shliach, with regard to get, we can derive already in the pasuk itself, this local pasuk, that a baal can appoint a shliach lalachas a get, because it's a v'shilach, v'shilcha. So what we derive from there is that even the shliach can appoint a shliach. So that's discussed over there. In the Gemara in Gittin Chav Ches Manal, discusses, first of all, whether or not everybody agrees to this, or is that a subject to machlokas in a braisa? So, secondly, assuming that we agree with it, but what are the parameters? Is this specifically, let's say, is it limited to cases where the shliach harishon is, let's say, chala or nanas, or not? Now, what's the issue? What's the basis of the ability for the shliach to be mana shliach? So you could understand that this is a question of just interpreting the baal's initial minui. What is his intent? What do the words mean? To what extent is he saying, or under what conditions is he saying, that he has a mind for, you know, him specifically to do it, or he just wants him to get it done? Or, no, that's not the issue at all. Let's assume, for instance, that the Mishlech simply didn't contemplate the question at all. The question is an issue, relates to the nature of Shlichus, to what extent the Shliach on his own possesses any legal authority. Does he now have the authority of the Bailim, as the Bailim empowered him, in a sense, so now that he's acting as a Bailim, as a Bailim, rather, and therefore he can take his own authority, he can issue a mandate to some other Shliach, he'd appoint a Shliach, or not. So the Rivash clearly understood it this way, because the Rivash was asked the question basically in the Gemara. If you look at the Gemara actually only mentions explicitly that Shliachos is Shliach in the context of Shlichus Olacha Beget and Shlichus Lekabalas Kiddushin. Or Shlichus. And Shlichus Lekiddushin. Or Shlichus Olacha Bekiddushin, but it's not entirely clear. So the Rivash is asked by somebody, is this something which is can other shluchim do this? The Gemara only mentions it and derives it from a pasuk regarding shliach, regarding gerushin, and it seems, it's, depending on how you read the Gemara, it's possible even that had it not been for even though the Gemara says it's true about shliach and kiddushin, it's only itself based on the hekesh vayilu yitzia. So the Rivash says, no question, a shliach. Any shliach can appoint another shliach, and he suggests two explanations of this. The second of one is the one I have here, which is that even though the Gemara says that, you know, we need a diuk. Not only can you have a shliach, but you can also that shliach can appoint a shliach, right? B'shliach v'shilcha means that the shliach can appoint a shliach. Even though the Gemara seems to say you need a diuk, even knowing shlichus works, doesn't tell you that shliach, osa shliach, you need to have another makor that is possible. That was all before we got to b'shachta kol kladas Yisrael, shashulcha shalim kamoso. Once we get to that, we see that it's not just that shliach can be effective, but that he's a bailim. He's been empowered. And therefore can be osa shliach on his own. This is the Rivash. It's a remarkable tshuva. Right? It says, the chiafinan, shulcha shalim kamoso, m'dichsiv v'pesach, shatu osa kol kladas Yisrael, kamoso mamish yafinan. Once you know that not only does shlichus work, that you can have a shliach, but that shulcha shalim kimoso, so then obviously that means that he's empowered. He can then appoint the shliach on his own. Okay, so that's one issue. You have another sort of, just another example of that kind of thing where you have, you know, doing thing other than what the Bailim specifically entrusted him with, which is issues relating to shinui midas shliach. Hamishalayach. To what extent, let's assume that there's no major kapeda, do I have leeway, does the shliach have leeway to sort of deviate a little bit, slightly at least, from the mishalayach's from mishalayach's explicit mandate. So that's already something which emerges in the Yerushalmi relevant to our context. We'll mention it, that the Yerushalmi asked the question, you know, how does Reish Lakish answer the Mishnah, the Tosefta which says that a person can be, that in the case of Shlichus a Truma, so if you mervatel a Shliach, that a person can be mervatel a Shlichus, basically. So our Gemara answered, that's because, right, the Lishan Basra here answers, that's because it means b'maisa. He actually went ahead and he was mafresh on his own. But the Yerushalmi gives a different answer. The Yerushalmi says, Kigon sh'amar lech v'kava b'tzafon, v'alach v'kava b'daru. He says, go and be mafresh from the north, and he went to be mafresh from the south. So, again, we'll get to understanding that, but what emerges from that is, at the very least, without a bittul, right, according to Reish Lakish, in that case, if you're mivatel, then it's not affected. But if you're not mivatel, apparently he has the ability to be mafresh from the darom, even though you told him to be mafresh from the tzafa. And you have other possible examples of that sort of thing, where you just deviate slightly. So what extent does he have the power to do that, or not? Moreover, you have another sort of issue, meaning that's one. So that's the extent to which the shliach has ability to deviate, to do things that the shliach didn't task him, didn't entrust him, didn't specifically direct him to do. The second sort of issue that relates to this question of the autonomy or the power, the authority of the shliach, is to what extent he's dependent, the shliach is dependent, his ability to execute the mice is dependent upon the mishaleach's retaining the legal capacity and the legal authority to execute it himself. So here we have the ksos, is a famous the famous Ksos that everybody's so fond of, right? That the Ksos had a diuk in Rashi because the halach is that a shliach, if the Baal dies, the Gemara says clearly, Misha says that ain't get lachar misa, you can't have the shliach give the get, and Rashi happens to say shekvar yatza mirshusa, something like that, something along those lines of Rashi and Gittin, because after all, the once the Baal's died, so she's already yatza mirshusa, she's already kones atzma, so the get is nothing, there's no relevance to the get anymore. So the Ksos is medayik from this, that it's only because of that, that it's only because it happens to be that the task is no longer possible to execute. I mean, she's already Bershusa Atma, so what would you be Mingarch? But had it not been for that, in principle, the Shliach can execute the act, even if the Mishaleach is dead. Even if the Mesa Mishaleach. What?
I don't know, it's a famous Ksos.
Yeah, I think it's the, it's Ksos Simon, I think, Kupay Chesman? What? I did... You mentioned the Ksos last time, yeah. So the Ksos goes further than what we've said. I was discussing the issue of Bardas. That's one issue. Here, it could be that it's I think, a more moderate form of this issue. That is the Ksos. I mean, the Ksos mentions that, but he goes further. He mentions the Machlokas Rambam and the Rambam and the Tur about that question, about if it's a Bardas. But then he says, forget Bardas. So he mentions two other cases. One was the issue of Gosei, Sildas, or Meniol. His assumption, the Rush assumption, was that Gosei Sadas or Ben Yoel. So first of all, he's not just a lack of das; he actually is a kemes. That's what we saw last year, right? He's kemes in Yana Melu, right? He has no ability to, he has no agency, so he can't. He has no capacity to do things to do a Maisa Moel. He can passively kemes, right? This is what we saw because Chachol Davar, right? There's okay a Nochel Manchil. So these are all, so some Rishonim say this, right, as we saw this Ben Yoel. This is all, those are all passive. You know, mice and the mamela. So as far as that's concerned, he's chai, but he's not a bailum. He can't do legal acts. So then the Ksos says, I'll tell you what, Rashi seems to be saying much more than that. Yeah, he says, this is the Rashi and Yogim Amanav again. Okay. So then, the Ksos then goes to try to prove this. He wants to say maybe there's a case of shlichus lahalacha, even lahalacha's get, where the mishaleach is dead and yet still the task of nesinus get is legally relevant. So this involves a number of our issues now, because he says, what's such a case? So he assumes that shliach was a shliach, that the machlokas rishonim, whether or not the mes, if mes ha shliach rishon, whether or not the shliach sheni can still effectuate the can still be noticing again. So the Ksos's understanding of that is he just assumes, as a Rapashut, that everybody will agree that the Shliach Rishon is the Shliach Sheni is the Shliach exclusively of the Mishaleach. Of the Shliach Rishon. That the Shliach Rishon is basically the Mishaleach of that of the Shliach, and he's the only Mishaleach. In other words, the Shliach Sheni is only Shlucho shel ha shliach rishon, and not at all in any way shlucho shel ha bailim. So therefore, he thinks that this is a nafka mina. In this case, perhaps this is a machlokas there that if the shliach rishon dies, so then you see that shlichus survives death, even as far as halachas get is concerned. In this case, you have that. You have that the get is still able to be executed because the what's relevant for the whether or not the isha is still bershus ha baals, whether or not the Baal, the original Mishaleach, is alive. He's still alive. So therefore, there's meaning to the get lachar misas ha-Mishaleach. And you see, therefore, that it can be chal. Now, obviously, the other way to read that is that, at the very least, when he's dead, perhaps even while alive, the Shliach Rishon is alive, he's the Shliach of the Mishaleach, not the Shliach of the Shliach Rishon. Okay. That itself relates to our question, how you understand Shliach Osa Shliach. Okay. But either way, that sort of question as well relates to this issue of autonomy. Now, I think that these two issues, as I said, are quite distinct, and that actually neither really corresponds with the other. I think you can say that you can be shlucho shel kemoso in this sense, in the sense of having independent authority, having one's own legal independent authority, just like the bailim, whether the authority that one has is to do one's own maisa, which effectuates the chalos for the mishaleach, or one has the authority to act independently, to act in the name of the Mishaleach. I think you can say either way. Likewise, I think you could say that even, right, we can understand you might be devoid of any of your own legal power, whether or not what you do when you simply act out the wishes of the Bailim is act in his name, and that's what I would call the Yad Arichta model, right, where you're his extended hand. So it's he who's acting, and you have no power, you're just an implement. Or whether or not you might say that it's I don't have any power, there's no kocho kebailim, and also I also don't have any shame bailim. I don't represent the bailim. It's like a prop who's doing it, right? So you're not acting on your own legal power, and you also are acting not in my name, but you're simply doing an act which affects something for the mishalech. Okay, coming back to our issue, Reish Lakish. So maybe what we'll say is, how do we explain therefore Reish Lakish? How is it possible to say that it could work shalom mirtzon habailim if you haven't done the ma'aseh yet? So we can understand that Reish Lakish's position here rests on a particular approach regarding shlichus. And here I would say, at the very least, regarding the first question, Reish Lakish holds that, regarding the second question, regarding the issue of legal authority, Reish Lakish understands that a shliach is kemosa, that a shliach has the koach habaylim. He's not just a clerk who's executing a task of the mishaleach. He actually wields his own halachic authority. He's been empowered by the mishaleach, so now he himself is a bailim over the task at hand. And here you can say one of two things. You could say either that alone is all that matters, that alone allows him to then act even in defiance of the will of the bailim. Even though it's shalom yirtzon mishaleach, but doesn't matter, the shliach has the power to act. He's already been delegated the ability to execute this act. That's even if shalom mirtzono, just like if it were, let's say, dead, perhaps, you might say. So also shalom mirtzono, even if dead wouldn't work, but this does work. Now, by the way, just to clarify, I think it's clear that the ma'aseh gerushin needs to be midas habaylim, midas mishaleach, in a sense. What I would say is that the way we'd view this is that he's handed over the capacity to do an act of nesina midaito. He's already empowered him to do that.
Meaning that it's the shliach's das, that is the
das. No. I was precisely trying to avoid that. Okay. I wouldn't say that. You could say that, but I think it was more plausible to say that it has to be midasa, the ish. Mm-hmm. It's just that he's empowered him to do an act midasa ish. And that now is independent of whatever it is that the ish himself wants. Meaning, so we recognize this as no longer midaito, but it's almost like you've already signed over the power to do that act already to the other person, midaito.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a bechetza, you enabled him, you gave him sort of a chetza of a maisa midaito. He's already now possessing that, wielding it on his own. That's the way I would put it. So you might say that alone is sufficient, or you might argue, perhaps Reish Lakish is required now to assume not only that, but also assume regarding the first issue, the issue of identity. I would say that he's not identified as the Baal, that it's the Shliach's act and not the Mishaleach's act that he's executing. And the reason you might say that is you might say as follows, that even if, let's say, operationally you have independent authority to act in his name, but Lamaisa, and let's say even if the Bailim isn't really viewed as sort of the puppet master here, he's not holding the strings here, but it's impossible to have an act be attributed to somebody Bakorcha. Right? Even if, let's say, you can have a Chalos Bakorcha Shaladam, but you can't have a Maisa. The very notion of a Maisa, something is a legal act, an exercise of will. So even if you want to say that, let's say, if he's dead, maybe, or even if he's not dead, let's say he's just not able to function now, even if you want to say that you can act independently, right, because you have your own authority, but sof, if what we're going to do is attribute that maisa to the person, it can't be that it's bal korcha. You could say that too. In which case, Reish Lakish will have to be taking a position on both of those issues. Okay, so then just to sum up, so then the basis of Reish Lakish regarding the chazara here is regarding why it is there's no option of chazara, no ability to be chazara, is because he believes that it's ineffective because you no longer require the Das Bailim. This is true in Kiddushin L'Achal HaMed Yom because the Maisa Kiddushin already happened, and right, the Chalos doesn't require Das, only the Maisa does, and the Maisa Kiddushin already happened. And it's true regarding Minoy Shliach because Reish Lakish is of the opinion that the Shliach has been delegated the legal authority as a Bailim to do this act, whether also he has, he's assuming that that's in addition to the fact that he has legal authority to act independently. Also, he's not acting in the name of the Baalim, in which case you have no veto power. The Baalim, the Meshalech, has no veto power over the Shliach's execution of the act. Okay, so that's one understanding of Reish Lakish. Now, I would just like to consider a few issues concerning the scope and the parameters of Reish Lakish, Shishas Reish Lakish, that emerge in Rishonim within this perspective. Meaning, I'd like to consider within this perspective these issues that the Rishonim discussed. First of all, there's the question of Bifanov. Does Reish Lakish's opinion change? Does he concede that if it's Bittul Bifnei HaShliach, let's say at the very least in the case of Shliach, so that'll be different. Then, of course, then he can be Chozer. So this already, you find the Tosos making a tumult about it. He says, this is the Tosos in our daf right here, Nuntes Amad Beis, the Tosos say, Lo kitcha atzam v'chazer b'ma'u, I'm sorry, yeah, Nira lefarish, right, because the Gemara says that if she herself goes to be Mekadesh's Atzma to somebody else before the Shliach, so then fine, then the Shliach's conditions are good. If she, let's say if she wasn't Mekadesh's Atzma, but she was just Chozeres, or Rishakis with the opinion, then it would be no good. So the Ritosos there say, Nir lefarish, v'chazer ba, below amirasa l'shliach. Di amar l'shliach, ein ritzoni shetekacheni, pshita de ena Mekudeshes, datu mishum de amrala tehave l'shliach l'kacheni l'matzi Chozeres? Of course. Now what's unclear, Ritosos, is what's the spar of that? It doesn't explain. He just thinks that, look at that, it looks crazy to say that I'm telling the Sheikh, I don't want you cannot be Mekadosh, I don't want you to be Mekadosh me. And nonetheless, the Sheikh can go ahead and be Mekadosh. It doesn't compute. Something must be wrong with that, he can't do that. That's what it sounds like in Tosos. It doesn't sound like he's offering much of a, it's like, oh, Misvara, the legal principles that dictate Shijas Rishakish really don't make so much sense anymore. You know, that they don't apply in that case. It sounds like it can't be that's the case. And this is already more explicit than Tosos Rush. Tosos Rush don't really make it a position that it's not true. They just say, you know, this is crazy. So the Tosos Rush here. Tamua yisvar shishlagish shikatshen el shlucha bakorcha afil shal meretz v'tzaveches. Tamua. But it doesn't sound like he's saying, oh, clearly not. It sounds like, no, it clearly must be. Apparently Rosh Hashanah doesn't care, but that's just tamua. So this is a position of that Tosa says. This is also what you have in the Ritva. It's a simple way to understand the Ritva's Mori. I'm not sure who it's referring to. It could be I'm not sure who it is. I don't think we find it anywhere else. He's explaining really a different point, why it's how one would answer the issue from the Mishnah in Gittin. Which is itself the reason the Ritva rejects it in the end. It says if this were true, then why did the Gemara in the end reject Reish Lakish because of this Mishnah Gittin? But he says that the Shani Bitol Shlichus Befanav Shashiach the Kevitcha Omer La Sheina Rotsa B'Shlichuso Heyach Yasenu Bakorcha Mezitam La Yucha Halal Lachzer La Mezal Hashliach V'Nedom La Chazaras Kedushin. Okay, etc. So we'll get to the rest of it in a second. So how do we understand this? So what clearly the sheet that requires explanation here is the sheet that holds Befanav. It's okay. The fun of Reish Lakish concedes you can be Chozer. So I think within this, what we could say within this understanding of Reish Lakish is as follows, that it's true the Maisa Shliach can be effective even Bal Korcho of Mishalayach. Reish Lakish is of that opinion. However, obviously this is only true if what? If he's still a Shliach when he's doing it. And Reish Lakish holds that Bifanov, the Mishalech has the ability to strip the Shliach of the Shlichus.
Just by saying you
want
to be.
Yeah. In other words, I would say it's a kind of a Kibolo Kachpolto, right? Just like if I can appoint somebody Bifanov, I can delegate to him, I can empower him to be Mikadesh, the Yisha, and now he's abiding him over that. And, right, at that point, if I just change my mind, it doesn't matter. Right? If I say, no, I don't have Das L'Kiddushin anymore. In theory, it doesn't matter. Your Das L'Kiddushin isn't required anymore. It's already been sort of handed over to the Shliach.
Right.
But that's only if he's a Shliach. And Reish Lakish is of the opinion that, as I said, kind of a Kibbolo Kachpoto. If you're Bifanov, you can take back what you gave him. Right? I was Moser the Koach L'Manos L'Kadesh Isha. You can't you can't simply if it's not b'fanavs, you can't simply retract that kalach that you gave him. All you can do is say, I don't have das l'kiddushin. And that's fine. You can say that, and we take that take you as your word. It just doesn't matter anymore.
Oh, meaning that shul b'fanav is taking away das, which can't work. But
the only thing that we acknowledge you're doing here is that you've changed your mind about whether or not you wanted to do it.
Right.
But that's fine. It doesn't matter. You don't have to want to do it anymore, because we don't need your das for the kiddushin anymore.
Right.
But b'fanav, you have the ability not just to say I don't want the kiddushin. You have the ability to remove the power that you gave.
So it's like a bittul of the minoy, not a bittul of his das.
If you want to put it that way, yes. It's or if it's a bittul, not the das like kiddushin, but the bittul the minoy ashlichus. Yeah, exactly. You can take, but it's not just the das. You're reversing the minoy. Exactly.
And why could you only do that b'fanav?
As I said, it's like a kind of a kibolo kachpolto. You have to, what you gave him, you can take back, but you got to take it back from him. Meaning it's something that you have the ability to retrieve, but only to fun of.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning he on his own now has this authority. Shalom b'fun of. You can't put the, you know, you got, if you want to put the, what is it, like the cat back in the bag, right? You got to go collect it. Or you got to go find him and take it back from him, if you will. It would be the equivalent, think of it as the equivalent sort of you know, well, I'll leave it at that. So that's how I think we could understand this opinion, that he holds that it's that there's a chiluk here between just saying that there's no longer negating your das l'gershin and negating the shlichus. Negating shlichus can be done only b'fanav, but it can be done b'fanav. Once you do that, it doesn't matter that a shliach can be operate b'korcho, you know, against the das shalom yiratzon of the mishaleach. He's not a shliach anymore. So that's, I think, we can explain that. I'll just note, this is in the end, it emerges as the exact opposite of the Pnei Yeshua. I think I erased the Pnei Yeshua. The Pnei Yeshua claims that Rashi, that those who disagree with this, that if fun of makes a difference, so they... He actually makes a startling claim. He thinks that actually the whole problem here for Yeshua, he also sort of said, how can it be that a shliach can be mekadosh baka? So he suggests that what happened here, the whole sugi here is discussing. This is the Pnei Yeshua's opinion. The whole sugi here is discussing where the only thing you're targeting, the only thing you're reneging on is that you want the shliach to do this, but you actually do want the gerushin, you do want the kedushin to still take place. You just don't want the shliach to be representing you. You want to do it maybe yourself, or appoint a different shliach.
That's very interesting.
I mean, that's a huge, major kimta. It's a major kimta in the Gemara. I mean, right. It doesn't say anything like that. But he suggests, and so he's making the chiluk too, but what he's saying is that Reish Lakish enables you to be, you know, take the shlichus back. It's almost the opposite, right? I'm sorry, he's saying Reish Lakish enables you to negate your das l'kiddushin.
Right.
He doesn't enable you to negate the shlichus. What you can do, however, is negate your das l'kiddushin. But for that, you need to actually no longer want the kiddushin. So it's the exact opposite, really, of this understanding of Reish Lakish. Another issue that we find is the possibility of being mechalik between the Mishnah and Gittin and what we have here. Right, the Mishnah and Gittin saw Meshlichus la'alacha beget. So again, the Yerushalmi's, our Gemara ends up rejecting it. Our Gemara ends up rejecting Reish Lakish for this reason. But obviously, Reish Lakish knew Mishnayos pretty well, right? So, what's going on? So this is where already the Rush says, what, you're telling me that Reish Lakish didn't learn Mishnayos? This is the Tosafot Rush here. Tiyut Reish Lakish Tiyut. The Tema V'chi Reish Lakish L'Yad HaMishnah Zo? Reish Lakish, why are you telling me? There's a Mishnah. The Yishlamar Shehaya Mechalik Shum Chiluk Ben Get L'Kiddushin. It's just that the Gemara didn't agree with it. V'lo Ha'i Kedai Be'enei Ba'alei HaTamud L'Sadrim B'Tamud. And he says that methodologically, this is just a general hermeneutical principle. Anytime you have a Mishnah being sosir, being brought to be sosir, divrei Amora, we can assume that the Amora had some other explanation of it. It's just that the Gemara didn't bring it. It was rejected. It just wasn't brought, but don't think that he just didn't know the Mishnah. Okay, so what is the Chiluk? What Chiluk could there be? Apparently there is. So I presumably what I think what the Rush already's language sort of suggests is that it isn't a chiluk an okimta, like the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi suggested that what was different about there is that you had a basin there. The Mishnah mentions a basin. It sounds, we'll get to it more coming up, but it sounds like when you discuss Rabbi Yochanan. It's a machlokes shulam whether or not that basin, what, for what purpose is that basin required, and when is it required? Is it dafka required because of the takana that the Mishnah speaks of, or is it even kodma takana? Either way, the Yerushalmi sounds like it's assuming it was even kodma takana. Therefore, that's the basis for Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish believes that you needed a, that it was basin. There's a special halacha of koch basin meruba. But the alternative is to consider perhaps there's a chiluk regarding there's a chiluk regarding shlichus la'acha beged versus the shluchi, the cases here. And what we could say is really based on the Rush himself. The Rush himself says as follows. The Rush in Gittin, I'll just read it outside, right? We paskin, like I said, hilchasa, that in shliach nase'ed, right? So the shliach le kiddushin can also be an aid, right? He's not identified as the Baal. That's what it sounds like. So the Rush says, he quotes Yerushalmi, which seems, and he seems to pass it this way, that basically this isn't true if you're talking about a shlichus la'halacha beget. This is just the end here. We'll see the Yerushalmi later. Right, that the shliach cannot count as one of the shnayim because harehu omid b'makom abal, because he is omid b'makom abal. What it seems to mean is, we identify him with the Baal, specifically in Get. Now, what would that be? What would the reason be? The idea is that, I think we discussed this in the past, that Nesinas Get isn't simply a contractual agreement. It's a Maisa Shal Shiluach, right? Binasan Biyada B'Shocha Mibeso. That the Shiluach Mibeso is occurring via Nesinas Get, right? We discussed that in the context of, according to Samishon, that's where you get the requirement for Amiros Hagitech. According to the Gemara in Yevamos, that's where you get the fact that a shota is not miskareshes because she won't know that she's been mishulachas. So it's sort of a maisa ishus that has to be the Baal who's doing it. And therefore, since the what implies therefore is that the shliach is omid b'makom ha'baal, is to be identified with, to be acting as the Baal in giving it to her, therefore he cannot be kamenade. Right? Therefore, he's too close to it. He cannot also be considered one of the Edikim. So we might say, is that's the distinction then between, who knows, maybe Rish Lakish might have suggested, that's the basis for the distinction here. Rish Lakish will tell you, this is now assuming that Rish Lakish believes that the reason, the basis for the reason that we don't need your Das in this case is because A, he requires both, in the case of Shlichus. A, the Shliach operates independently, as independent legal authority to execute the act, and B, not only that wouldn't be sufficient, because if he's executing the act but in his own name, so fine, that's fine, but if he's executing an act in my name, so we suggested as one possibility, maybe Rish Lakish will say that would, maybe we would say that would give you veto power, you can't have an act be attributed to me bar korchi, right? So if we assume, so Rish Lakish is saying that therefore in these cases where I hold it, you don't require the das of the mishaleach, that's how we're understanding him, that's because he has his own legal authority and he's not doing an act in my name. He's acting on his own. That's not true, one could have argued, that's not true when it comes to get. When it comes to get, it's an act of shiluach, v'shulcha mebesa, of expelling her from your relationship, that has to be the Baal's doing it. So therefore, the fact that shlichus works beget, what that means is that you can have him, you can enable him to act as you. And if that's the case, if it's my nesinas haget, it's my shiluach, so then I have veto power over it. Rish Lakish will acknowledge as well that in that case, in shliach halacha, you can mevatel the shlichus. Okay? All right, so we'll stop here. Maybe we'll continue with a couple other points quickly on this view of Rish Lakish, and then we'll transition to the other view of Rish Lakish, which I think is more mistaber in the end. We'll consider that. Okay? Oh,